What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm here with Sue Wynn Jones, and we're talking today about round peg, square hole. Kind of speaks for itself. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for being here, Sue.
Thanks for having me. yeah, I like to call it the round square in the peg hole because most of the people that are X-Men that we might be talking about a little bit today feel usually like they don't fit anywhere.
Yep. Yeah, and I definitely did some research on you, and I'd love for you to just share, why don't you share a little bit about kind of your childhood, what brought you to Access Consciousness, and then, yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I'd had a pretty normal childhood, I'd say. My mum mainly brought me up, so from when I was very young, I was just living with my mum, and I always felt very much like the odd one out, and that I didn't really fit anywhere, but I also was very good at fitting in with lots of the people around me. I had lots of different groups of friends and all sorts of things, but I guess when I really acknowledged that I was different was coming to Access Consciousness and finding out about the tools of X-Men in particular.
Cool. So why don't you talk about that? How did you discover Access Consciousness?
So my partner, Tiffany, I met her in Bondi Beach, Australia, which is a very famous beach in Australia where they have lots of surfing and lifeguards, and there's even a TV show about it. So we met there, and Tiffany ran my bars, and I really enjoyed it. And I asked her, can you run my bars again? And for any of you that don't know, the bars are 32 points on the head that relate to all different aspects of your life, and when you run them, it releases all of the like stored thoughts, feelings and emotions that you have about that. So it made me very happy, and I'd tried all sorts of things like meditation, all sorts of things to stop thinking so much. And this was the first time that I actually had like a sense of ease and peace in my world that lasted for more than a day. So I was hooked from that moment on.
That's great. So did you went and took a bars class, I take it? And
actually
you just went away. I don't hear you. There you are.
Eventually she ordered the world facilitating the Access Consciousness classes as well, so a lot has changed.
That's awesome. And unfortunately, I'm going to have you repeat that because you broke up. So go ahead and say it again. found Access Consciousness, what happened?
For me, like finding the tools of Access Consciousness, it's like just my whole life changed so quickly. And I think for so many people that have been seeking something different, it's like when you find something that's actually pragmatic and practical and you can apply it to every area of your life, it's like you just go for it and use the tools as much as you can. And so much has changed. Very truly grateful for this in my life.
Yeah, me too. So so I read in your bio, it says, while undiagnosed, some people might have labeled you with autism, OCD, and ADD. However, you don't really look at it that way. So why don't you say a little bit about that? How do you not look at it that way? And how do you see it? I can't hear you again. Chris, are you able to hear him?
What are the actual abilities behind those disabilities? And so it's like, for me, when I first started looking at, like, autism was the first one that really popped for me. And for any of you out there that might be inclined to know a little bit more about that, it's like, there's a movie called Temple Grandin, and if you watch that, you might get a better sense of where I'm coming from with this information, because it's actually looking at, okay, so what's different about you? How do you see the world? How do you perceive the world in a different way? And how can you actually use that to your advantage to create something greater? And that's what's actually available to the X-Men of the world and to some of these people that have been labeled with these disabilities. And the only reason that people have been labeled like this is because no one could figure it out. No one could understand what was different. And so they created a bunch of different labels in order to categorize people that didn't fit, that never fit, and that were never going to fit. And so, yeah, there's actually a really different reality that's available for these people. And it's like, yeah, I can talk a whole lot more about it, but I guess you have some more questions.
Well, yeah, but please don't hesitate to talk as much as you want. We got a whole hour. So, say a little bit more about, like, kind of X-Men, because I'm sure some people are like, well, how do those go together? Because I'm thinking X-Men with superpowers and, like, you know, flying around, and you're talking about, like, these, you know, things that are considered disability. So could you say
exactly
a little more about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, if any of you have also watched any of the X-Men movies, it's like there are these these mutants that basically also have never really fit in society and have always felt like outcasts, and they come together at a school where they start to learn to embrace and enhance these special, like, abilities that they have, and that's really how the term was also coined in Access, was from looking at this different place, because how X-Men actually came about was from the founder of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas, and the co-creator, Dane Heer, being, called by parents with kids that were labeled with some of these disabilities, going and talking to the kids and asking the kids questions, and finding out that they actually had this amazing awareness, this really different perspective, and actually these abilities that they weren't being acknowledged for, and also that they weren't being given any information of how to actually use what they're aware of to create. They'd been heavily medicated, told that they were wrong, and constantly projected out that there was a problem or something that needed to be fixed, when in actual fact it was the complete opposite. So that's how that came about, with the link between X-Men and these kids.
Awesome. And so I know too that Gary Douglas, the founder, suggested that you were autistic at one point, and so how did that land for you, and what did you do with that information?
Yeah, I mean, at first I was like, what do you mean? I'm not autistic. I've never been diagnosed as autistic. And, you know, like I said earlier, I actually did think that the way that I functioned was completely normal until he actually acknowledged that with me, and he asked me a question, you know, are you autistic? And I just got a big yes in my world. And, you know, so first of all, I did, like, quite a lot of exploring in terms of, you know, watching some movies like Temple Grandin and the X-Men movies. And then I also dug around in the Access Consciousness reference materials, which is, like, all of the information over 25 plus years of, discovering this stuff. And so I found out all of these areas where I thought I was completely wrong and messed up that were actually these different abilities that I had to create something else. And so I've, since that time, it took me, it was a bit of a personal sort of journey, I guess, and now I feel like I'm really starting to embrace that difference and be it in the world and invite other people to embrace the difference of them as well.
Awesome. Would you be willing to share maybe some of those places? Because I'm sure some people are kind of going, well, I wonder, like, what they were and, like, what, how did you see them?
Yeah. Well, one of the big things for me has always been communication. I've always found words very, like, not enough. The words were never enough to, like, portray the full picture of what I was aware of. And so one of the different ways that X-Men communicate is they will communicate with energy, they will communicate with pictures, and they will also communicate with words. So it's like it's a simultaneous communication. It's not what most people would describe as how you communicate to someone. And so this was just one area where I would often leave out a lot of the words that were necessary in a communication because I thought people were picking up on everything else that I was communicating, and I didn't realize that that was actually different. And so for some of you out there, if you've ever felt like people just don't understand you or just don't get you or you feel like you can't communicate clearly, it might also be this place where you're communicating from like a full picture, and it's might not be being received because that's not how people are taught to communicate here.
Right. So how did you get, like, once you saw that and you realize that some people can perceive that but some people can't, then how did you adjust you so that people could receive more of you?
Well, so for me it was this place of starting to look at, like, okay, so, you know, I'm different and not everyone else is different in this way, but what can this person hear and what can they receive and how can I be that which will allow them to receive? And so it's a little bit of a dance, and it's also finding a little bit of what works and what doesn't. But not making you wrong and not making you less for not being able to be received in the way that you desire to be received, but being everything that you are regardless, and whether people get it or not, being willing to be it for you and enjoying it, enjoying the difference that you are. Yeah.
What a great invitation. I know I've actually heard or I read that you used to find social situations awkward. And could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's another way that I guess X-Men will function slightly differently in that they will pick up the energy of a situation. And so if you are... often the energy is much quicker than the other forms of communication as well. So, for example, if you walk into a room and people have just been, you know, arguing, and then you get there and they're smiling and, you know, pretending that everything's, like, good and everyone's happy, it's like you get the sense of the different sense of energy to what's actually been going on and then to what people are saying is going on. And a lot of people don't actually, like, acknowledge this, but a lot of what people say and a lot of the energy that they are is actually going in two different directions. And that can be really confusing for a lot of people, because if you're being aware of an energy of a situation and then someone's saying that what they're saying is happening is the complete opposite of that, it's like it's just confusing and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So actually starting to acknowledge what you're aware of and then not go against your own awareness, and by like often what people will be portraying that's actually happening, which is not actually correct. And so that was a big way where I would just make myself wrong all the time for having this awareness that didn't match, you know, what people were talking about. And so I found it very hard to like look people in the eyes and be like present with people in social situations. Just, I think, based on this area of the energy not matching what people were talking about.
Cool. So, and but that's gotten easier for you, right? Like it's like
The more I've been willing to acknowledge what was actually true for me, what I was being aware of, and then also being willing to, it's been many moments of being really uncomfortable. And also, like, continually lowering all of my walls and barriers with people, and just being, like, present and, like, yeah, I'm not gonna say that it's been easy, and I often still have situations where I'm like, you know, there's a lot that doesn't make sense, but sure. I keep going, and I know that it gets easier and easier. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Is it time to create a different and greater world? Through research, we can explore paths to new and exciting possibilities. The Hope Foundation for Possibilities and Change is a research-based not-for-profit organization dedicated to exploring, discovering, and creating a different future for all. Your donations make this happen. You can contribute at foundationforpossibilities.com.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with Sewell, and we're talking about round peg, square hole. I'm sure we've all felt that to some degree in our lives. Sewell, right before the break, you were talking about kind of being uncomfortable in social situations, and you mentioned a couple of different things that I thought were really neat, like not cutting yourself off or making yourself wrong. But how could you maybe guide somebody in doing that? When they feel wrong all the time, like they don't fit anywhere.
Yeah, it's a really great question, and I'd say, you know, I've been like looking at this a lot in the last 6 years, and one of the things that I guess I would like to invite the listeners to is like, what if, you know, what was actually great about you was what was considered wrong. And so if if you were willing to start to look at the areas that you have decided that you're wrong or that people have made you wrong for, like, what if that was one of the areas where you have the greatest strength? Mm-hmm. And so you want to just, like, it's really starting to get to know what's actually true for you and starting to make some different choices to, like, embrace what's actually true for you. And I would say one of the first things would be, whenever you find yourself making you wrong for something, just stop it. Just try your absolute best to stop making yourself wrong and just ask, okay, what other choice do I have available? If I wasn't making myself wrong here, what would I choose? And I know that can sound like such a small step, but it's like you do have to start making those small steps in order to have something different here. And yeah, like, for example, in the movie Temple Grandin, you know, she's at a ranch, and she's hanging out with the cows, and everyone thinks she's just totally weird, and they're like, what are you doing? You're just, like, being so strange. And what she's actually doing is observing how the cows move and how they communicate and function so that she can design this completely different system for the way that cows are processed through, like, a meat processing plant. And so by observing all of these different things, she finds that when they're distressed, they make certain movements, and when they travel, they move in circles, and they like soft edges, not hard edges. And so she designs this whole other way of like herding cattle through this system. And if she wasn't willing to go with what she knew and not care about whether people were going to make her wrong or not, but she knew what was true for her, and she kept going, and she knew what she was aware of. And so from that is something like that created something that is great, and that is actually now being instituted all over America in all of these different cattle yards. And so it's also, I guess, that place of having a little bit of tenacity with yourself and knowing what's true for you and just going for it regardless.
Would you say, because you said you had a partner and I believe you even have a son, so how do you practice that with the people you're closest with?
Yeah, well, I'd say they have a lot of allowance for me, and at the same time, I have a lot of allowance for them, and it's like, but we do have this different way of functioning, and it's like, we probably don't recognize it that much because we're used to it, but people that would be hanging out with us, you know, we don't talk a lot because we communicate in this different way, and things really move differently and are created very differently. It works for us, and I think you've got to find what works for you in these areas, you know, whether it's with relationship or business or, you know, with your body, whatever it is. It's like, we all have these different capacities and ways that we communicate, and it's none of it's right and none of it's wrong. It's all just different. So it's like finding what actually works for you.
Beautifully put. So what sort of tools, additional tools maybe, that have you used to practice more allowance with yourself?
With myself, I mean, what we talked about just earlier about, like, not making yourself wrong is a huge one. Like, and when you find yourself doing it, just stopping. I would also say, like, that for any of you as well that are, like, wondering, okay, but how do I actually discover a little bit more about, like, what my abilities are with this? You have to start choosing, because choice creates awareness. And so you've got to start choosing different things to what you're choosing right now to actually find out some of these areas that you have a creative capacity that you haven't yet like acknowledged or stepped into. And so I would say literally just start choosing and like apply it to any area of your life that you haven't before. Just choose something different. Like, what different choice can I make today? And play with it. And because every choice that you make, you will find that you'll get a different awareness from it. And so that's really what I did a lot with this stuff was, okay, I know there's something else available and it's up to me to choose it.
So what were some of those choices that you made to discover kind of the different possibilities?
Well, for example, now, I mean, so when I first started going to, when I first started attending access classes, like we talked about before, I was not very happy, not like very socially awkward, didn't have a lot of money, you know, not doing so great. And my, you know, fast forward to my life now, and it's like I have a global business and I am attending and facilitating classes around the world and public speaking. And so it's like a lot of it. If you were to see the sort of change from then until now, it might be like, oh, what did you choose? But it was thousands of little choices that I made to go beyond what was comfortable for me and step like out into the world in a different way. And it's one of those things that you can't really, I can't really exactly describe it to you, because for everyone as well, that your journey with it will be different.
Right.
Because you have different possibilities that are available to you as well. But yeah, keeps coming back to that choice thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So being somebody who used to experience a lot of anxiety, how are you dealing with what's going on globally right now with the coronavirus? And what maybe could you offer for people that are really concerned about that right now?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, humor, you know, I think the best antidote to the coronavirus is the Corona beer at this point. But, you know, yeah, it is quite funny because, like, a lot of people will go into the sort of trauma and drama of a situation. But when you actually look at the facts of the coronavirus, it's like, it's not actually that big a deal. And it's like, people are dying from all sorts of, like, way things that occur much more in, like, there's a lot of things that people will die from on a daily basis that far outweighs the impact that the coronavirus is having. And it's like, I think it's been hyped a lot. And it's kind of funny to me, because where I'm from in Australia, it's like apparently people panic bought and went out and like bought all the toilet paper. And so now people are having difficulty buying toilet paper in the supermarkets. And I keep getting photos from friends with people wrapped in toilet paper saying this is the way that Australians are going to protect themselves from the coronavirus. So, yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I think we have a very different point of view with the tools of access consciousness and with the body processes and everything about, like, health and your body and, you know, being aware. It's like these are all really different things that give you a different perspective to what most people will sort of believe when they read, you know, the news and things like that.
Right. Well, speaking of, you mentioned body processes. What's different about the body processes in access?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are these amazing body processes where you basically put your hands on on different locations on the body, and you call up different energies and run them. So for example, there's some energies that you can run on the immune system, which actually rev up the immune system. And most of the people in Access look way younger than they actually are, and they very rarely get sick, and they're much happier. And so, I mean, why wouldn't you want to, you know, look younger, you know, feel better and be happier?
Whatever you do, don't go be happier. You should just be miserable like everybody else.
Yeah. That would be way too bad, and no one would, you'd lose all your friends who probably don't like you anyway, so
right. Hang out with the happy people.
Yeah,
totally. So when you discovered Access Consciousness, what are some of the, maybe even just kind of specifics if you can, some of the ways that you saw that it changed your life?
Very simply, you know, like we were speaking about, a sense of like freedom, a sense of joy, a sense of happiness, and also just that place where you actually get, like, I don't know if any of you had this as a kid, but where you were just like, you woke up and you were excited about life, and you were excited about what you could create and the possibilities of it. And it's like, somewhere for me along the way, I lost that, and I found it again with using these tools. And just that creative capacity and that zest and enjoyment for life and living. Mm.
Yeah, even Dr. Dane talks about when he found Access, he was planning the date to kill himself. So it's Access bars itself can change your whole life. So
yeah, and so many people have these like stories of where, you know, they were about to end their life and then they came across the tools of Access in whatever way they did. And I guess the thing about Access too is your life doesn't have to be in that place for you to get a lot out of the tools. You know, you can also be happy and having a great life and would just like it to get better, because the tools work for that too.
That's really well put. Great point. Awesome. Was there anything that before Access that you deemed impossible to change that you changed with the Access tools?
Oh, I mean, you know, every day that I am living right now is like a day beyond what I considered was possible. And it's like I keep out creating what was yesterday. And so I think the main thing with that actually that I would say is different is that I never had the sense that, like, by me being that and embracing that, I could actually invite other people to that possibility as well and actually be an inspiration for that. And so I'd say that would be the main thing for me, is that I could actually have an effect in other people's world in what's available to them as well.
Well, your business now even focuses on working with people who have been labeled with disabilities. What are some of the ways that you work with people in that area?
Yeah, so I mean, I have like a lot of adults who come who don't think that they're X-Men, who have usually brought their kids along, or they know someone who they think they're at the class to, you know, help them. And then by the end of the class, they're going, oh my God, I didn't know I was an X-Men. So yeah, I'm not just talking about the kids here. It's like, if you're listening to this as well, it's like, it's probably you. If you've listened this far, it's probably you, because, you know, how many of you have, for example, thought about someone and then they, you know, they called you like a minute later? Or it's like, you know, how many of you when you're in a situation with someone, do you get the sense of an energy that that's different, that doesn't actually match the words that's coming out of their mouth. And, you know, there are all of these different ways that X-Men create differently. They like to do 1,000 things at once. So if you're someone that gets really bored by doing, you know, one thing in a linear fashion, maybe you're not wrong. Maybe you just need to add some more to your life.
What, wait? Add more? I'm already overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That's a different way of looking at it. Yeah, my daughter actually used to, she'd get a little frustrated when she was, and she'd say, I'm speaking in energy and nobody can understand me. And I was like, yeah, honey, you have to actually, some people can't hear that, you know, they can't perceive that. So, but then not making yourself wrong for that. Yep.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, what would it take to have a world where that was something that people were commonly aware of? And I think that's also part of what the tools of X-Men and Access Consciousness are, is bringing this different awareness to the world. And it's a whole lot of fun from my point of view.
Wonderful. Well, we'll talk just a little bit more on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility. Knowing you are supported by the universe.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Sewell, and we're talking about Round Peg Square Hole. Sewell, I know that you're traveling quite a bit. You're doing workshops and events and stuff like that. I'd love to touch in a little bit about this Return of the Gentleman thing that you have going on. That's fairly new. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So it's a new class that has been created based on some two books. One, The Gentleman's Club, written by Gary Douglas, and the other, The Return of the Gentleman, written by Dr. Dane Heer. And it's really from this place of, I think that men have been, I guess, living by a lot of different stereotypes, and there is this place where there are a lot of men who are actually different and desiring something different. And so it was really started as a way of starting to open up this this conversation, and it's been really interesting because a lot of women have also really embraced embraced this and gotten a lot out of it, because I think it's an area where often men and women just don't really get each other and how they function, and so it's brought a lot more clarity to a lot of people, which has been really interesting and something that I didn't expect would show up.
Awesome. And where are you guys doing those events?
we've got quite a few things online, so people have been joining us from all over the world, but we've done some classes in Australia, in Italy. We're about to go to one in Budapest, and there is a few other places as well, like Geneva in Switzerland and Vienna, that we've been to as well. So it's very new. So we're just starting to get out in the world.
Cool. What's the how can they find you online then? What are you guys doing online?
We're doing a book club for the gentlemen's club, and people can find us at thegents.club, and you can also find those books on accessconsciousness.com if you're interested to read about it. But yeah, I guess one of the things with men is like that there is like a power and a potency that's available, but there's also like a kindness and a caring and a nurturing that's available. And I think often it's been separated into, okay, you're either like a macho tough guy or you're like a new age, you know, sensitive, you know, snag, as we call them. But it's like, what if embracing you as a true gentleman was embracing everything that you are and not having to, again, cut yourself off to be something that you're not? And it's like, that's also an invitation for the ladies of the world to choose for them as well.
And so in a society that actually says we should fit in, we should be like everybody else, we were all kind of brought up to think that there was a kind of a cookie cutter, and we were supposed to turn out a certain way. But you keep saying not to cut yourself off. So would you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, so let's take relationship, for example, and it's like, how many of you have gotten into a relationship and then, you know, if you imagine yourself as, like, if you imagine the car is the relationship and it's like you go to get in the car, but you don't quite fit. It's like your arms are too big and your legs are too big. And so it's like you start to cut off these little parts and pieces of yourself in order to fit, like, what that relationship has decided you need to be in order to be in it. And so you end up losing you, because you cut off all the parts and pieces of you so that you can fit whatever that is. But then you don't have you anymore. And it's like, does your partner actually require you to cut off everything you are, you know, to be in that relationship? Or is it a choice that you make? And so it's like, what if you could be everything that you are and still have the relationships that you would like to have? And so this is really the place where we're looking at. It's like, what if you could embrace all the aspects of you without a sense of inferiority, without a sense of wrongness, but this is me, here I am, and being present from that place.
Could you speak to maybe, like, let's say somebody's in a partnership and they know that they've been cutting themselves off. How do they go back and maybe collect those pieces? like where do they start?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, it starts with stopping. So it starts with recognizing, okay, so where am I actually cutting myself off, like, in order to fulfill, you know, what the idea of, you know, and it might not even be your partner, or it might not even be your friend. It might just be the ideals of what everyone thinks, you know, you have mm-hmm. to be in, you know, in order to be whatever it is that you've decided you need to be. So just becoming aware of what those places are to start with, and then stop cutting yourself off, and then starting to include the things that actually bring you the joy and the happiness. And it's like you'll probably notice that, you know, when you were younger, you had a much better sense of what it was that actually gave you that sense of happiness and joy. And so just start to add whatever that is, and it might have changed, so you might also need to explore it and start asking, all right, so what would actually be fun for me today? And like, if I was creating my life today, what would I choose? And this is just some of the places where we can start to get those pieces and parts of us that we've cut off, and start to invite them back into our lives.
Mm. You said something in the beginning of the conversation about, like, when you're, and it's perfect that this actually fits into relationships and, you know, being an X-Men, being different. It's like, we're all very different. But you said something like being willing to, like, lower your walls and barriers. Could you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, most of us have not really been taught to be vulnerable in our lives. We've been taught that, you're supposed to protect yourself, and you're supposed to keep up these basically like created walls and barriers in order to create like separation between you and someone else, so that you'll know when, you know, something's happening that it shouldn't be. But actually the exact opposite is true. It's like when you put up a wall and a barrier to keep something out, you keep everything out, not just what you've decided you don't, you wouldn't like to have. It's like you also then exclude a whole lot of energies that could be contributing to you and your life. And so, it's this place of really, again, getting like present with you in a situation, and it is just that place of actually starting to ask the walls and barriers to lower. And sometimes you have to like push them down. You have to use a bit of your energy to actually, like, you know, bring them down, be vulnerable, and it can feel really uncomfortable, but it's like there's actually a whole lot more awareness and a whole lot more of you available on the other side of that. So I would really invite you all to try that and practice that, and wherever you can be that in the world, because like there's not a whole lot of people that are actually authentic and totally being them in the world. And so what if that was one of the greatest gifts that you could be, is to is being that vulnerability, being willing to not have to get it right and not be perfect, but just, again, that place of, you know, this is me, here I am, and I'm choosing to create my life in whatever way I'm choosing. And, you know, like, this is just me right now. I'm here, and I'm willing mm-hmm. to be present. And, yeah.
Beautiful. And so if you, let's say you're being vulnerable and your walls are down, and yet you're around a bunch of people with their walls up. what sort of things could you recommend to do in those sorts of situations?
Well, we're often as well taught that like vulnerability is a weakness. And so mm-hmm. often if you are in a situation like that, you know, there might be some you know, feelings of inferiority or whatever it is that come up for you, but it's actually the invitation to a different possibility. And like I said before, people are genuinely seeking that. And it's like, usually people will only judge what they actually desire to choose. And so sometimes it's you being willing to be that vulnerability, regardless of whether anyone else is willing to be it or not, that opens the door for that being available to other people to choose. Because it's like, this is one of the ways where it doesn't make logical, linear sense, and it's like you can talk about it all you like, but until you get the sense of someone who is actually willing to be vulnerable, who's willing to be present, and who's not going to cut themselves off to be whatever you've decided like you need to be in order to be comfortable, you just don't get the sense. You don't get the sense of it anywhere else. So it really is. This is where it's like we often talk about in the Return of the Gentleman classes, that this change that you would like to see in the world really starts with you and how you're being in the world. And then that is actually what opens up the door to other people having those choices available.
And what an invitation. Wonderful. So what are some ways that people can find you? Do you have some things going on coming up here in the near future?
Yeah, I've got lots going on all over the place. My schedule is crazy. I feel like I'm a ping pong ball around and the planet is the table. But yeah, I am. You can find me at saulwynjones.com. You can also find me on accessconsciousness.com/SaulWynJones. And I facilitate the X-Men body of work and the Return of the Gentleman and also the Access Consciousness core classes. So coming to a country or a city near you soon, I would say. Yeah.
That's great. Oh, so you are an X-Men facilitator as well?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. And thank you so much for having me on this show. And it's like, I just want to say I'm so grateful for you, you know, bringing this out into the world and making these tools and these conversations available to more people. Because I know my life would not be the same without them. So very grateful for you.
Oh, thank you, Saul. That's amazing. How about when is your next class? Where are you going to be?
Well, I just arrived in Budapest, so I'm going to be doing an introduction to Return of the Gentleman at the Choice of Possibilities class with Simone Milicis, and then we have a one-day class on the 16th. So that's where I will be over the next week. And then I'm going to Kazakhstan, of all places, which I have never been to before, to facilitate some X-Men and some foundation. So, yeah.
Great. So everywhere, just look him up. Saul Wynn Jones. Mm-hmm. It's SaulWynne Jones, JONES, just in case people are wondering how to spell it and find you. And I'm just so grateful for your willingness to be you. You guys, the Return of the Gentleman, the Gentleman's Club, you guys are definitely an inspiration. And I've seen so many of people, X-Men, people with special abilities get free with that body of work. So just knowing that those are possibilities out there for everyone, thank you for that. If there was just a couple of things that you would really like people to get in closing out of our conversation today, what would it be?
Yeah, I would like to just invite you, like, what if, you know, what you had considered wrong about you was actually, you know, the greatest strength of you? And also, you know, this is your life, and it's like, what if your life could be about greatness? And what if your life was about choosing, like, greatness every day, the greatest you can be today, and knowing that tomorrow can always be greater?
It can always get better. So remember, folks, I say this all the time, our two key questions are, how does it get any better than this? And what else is truly possible here? You can always ask those questions even when things are great, and then also when they suck. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you. I love that you really believe there's a possibility to have everything in life show up with ease, joy, and glory. And so
thanks, folks.
Thank you, Sewell. Yep. Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye.